last year, people around the world fiercely condemned the Donald's administration for its inhumane handling of the Central American migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, which included separating children from their parents under a zero-tolerance policy, placing migrants in unlivable housing conditions, allowing migrant children to die under ICE or Immigration Authority custody, and shooting families attempting to cross the border with rubber bullets, among other atrocities. And then, of course, Trump's big deal national emergency. There was an attempt by the Democrats to stop this national emergency, declaring a national emergency at the border. But Trump, of course, vetoed what happened in Congress and got his national emergency, and is also threatening to increase the number of troops that are at the border. And now he is signaling that he wants to move forward with plans to bus undocumented migrants from Central America to so-named sanctuary cities and states. Let us go to a clip now from the Daily Mail on this.
Well, you know, the people that are putting sanctuary cities where they're not even wanted, because, as you know, in California and other places, a lot of communities want to get out of sanctuary cities. They don't want them, but they always seem to have open arms. So we thought, rather than moving the illegal immigrants to other parts of the country, first of all, we're getting them, and we're doing the best we can with very bad laws. We have to change the laws. But we're apprehending thousands and thousands of people a day. We'll bring them to sanctuary city areas and let that particular area take care of it, whether it's a state or whatever it might be. California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people, and they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply. And let's see if they're so happy. They say we have open arms. They're always saying they have open arms. Let's see if they have open arms.
Are you asking for more troops on the border as well?
Hey, we're going to put more troops on the border. Yeah, we're going to. We are giving very strong consideration to having people after a 20-day period because, again, you're not allowed legally to hold them for more than that. We will move them into sanctuary cities. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. So there you hear the Donald, his latest swipes there, and he's preparing for 2020, where clearly he wants to use the issue of migrants and immigrants as a wedge issue. But meanwhile, the Trump administration again is trying to challenge the Flores Agreement, which has to do with the 20-day rule that migrant children, whether they arrive with family or are unaccompanied, cannot be held in detention for more than 20 days. So the White House is preparing to challenge that rule again. And on the line with us, we have Peter Shea, who is the lead attorney for the team that oversees the court order and inspects facilities for migrant children. And he is the executive director of the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law. Peter Shea, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
So, Peter Shea, before we get into this whole business of Trump's latest moves, we do want to find out, though, how are the children doing, the children who've been separated from their families at the border, and also the families who are remaining in detention? Peter Shea.
Well, there are likely several thousand children who have still not been reunited with their families. The problem was that when the separation policy was instituted, there was absolutely no strategic planning conducted regarding how those children would ever be reunited with their parents. The government did not keep track of where they were sending the parents and where they were sending the children. So the result is that there are likely still several thousand children who have not been reunited with their families. Reunification could indeed be extremely difficult because under coercive tactics, threats, and whatnot, most of those parents were summarily deported after being coerced into pleading guilty to misdemeanor entry into the United States. By the way, we think most of those guilty pleas were illegally obtained, because if somebody enters the United States with a reasonable fear of persecution and with the intention to present themselves to a Border Patrol official and to seek political asylum, we don't believe that that was an illegal entry under federal law. And secondly, most of those parents pled guilty because they knew and they were told that that was the only way they could begin efforts to locate their children and reunite with their children. Having said that, a large number of children remain in federal custody at this time. Some of those children are in the custody of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which handles all unaccompanied minors. And once these children were separated from their parents, they were defined as unaccompanied minors. So they went into the custody of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, where many still are in custody. And some have been placed in long-term foster care. So at this time, the administration has said that it would take about another 2 years just to identify who these children are and to attempt to make efforts at reunification. So that's where that situation stands at this time.
Yeah, and that's worrying on so many different fronts. We know, for example, in the child welfare system, foster care and adoption, which over the years have taken so many children from their families here in the United States, Black, Brown, Native American children, poor white children, simply because the families are poor. But also under a law passed under the Clinton administration, children who are detained under that system that are 3 years and younger, they go under fast-track adoption. And so it is very worrying about this two-year time period that you just mentioned, because there could be the worry that some parents may actually lose parental rights for their children. But tell us, too, though, about these moves by the Trump administration. Now they're saying, oh, there's so many coming in, we can't possibly process everybody. So there's the whole catch and release. And then why don't we just funnel and send all of these migrants and immigrants, undocumented immigrants, to sanctuary cities? So it seems as though Trump, he is making some political calculations, never mind the rights and the well-being and justice of the families and children who are being impacted here. Your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, it definitely seems as if the chaos at the border is largely manufactured by the Trump administration for political purposes, gearing up for the 2020 election. As part of his national declaration of an emergency at the border, President Trump and his top officials and surrogates have repeatedly told the public that the situation is out of control at the border, that the Border Patrol is being overrun by these migrant families, and that they don't have bed space, and therefore they are forced, against their will, they are forced to engage in what they repeatedly call a catch and release policy, and telling the public that these are many drug dealers and criminals, and that they're somehow just forced to release them promptly upon apprehension, or promptly when they present themselves to apply for asylum, because of the chaos and because of the large numbers and because of the lack of the bed space. Our recent investigation into these matters has determined that that situation is completely manufactured by the Trump administration. And what we have discovered recently, just in the past few weeks, is that indeed the two major family detention centers that were originally set up by President Obama in 2015 and that have a capacity to hold about 3,000 parents with children, and that are contracted for hundreds of millions of dollars with private contractors, what we have discovered is, in fact, that those are about 90% empty. that in the past, ever since Trump initiated his national emergency narrative, that they have actually emptied out those two family detention centers. One is in Dilley, Texas, which could hold about 2,000 children with their parents, and is down to 300 children and parents. And the other is at Karnes, which could hold about 1,000 parents and children, and currently has no parents and children. So on the one hand, while the Trump administration has repeatedly stated publicly as part of its national border emergency narrative that they're being overrun, that they have no bed space, they're forced to catch and release. On the other hand, that seems to be completely contrived, because they have actually emptied out the family detention centers. And at this point, even though they have capacity of about 3,000, they only have about 300 families in detention.
Right. So maybe Trump will planning on or hoping that these immigrants will go to places like California, and really attempting, I think, to undermine support for the movement in support of immigrant, undocumented immigrants in particular, as well as asylum seekers. And increasingly, we see the likes of Stephen Miller, who, as far as I'm concerned, is an extreme racist, now having so much sway in the White House, and a lot of his ideas that he's espoused for years, now Donald Trump picking up to make policy. Peter Shea, we'll have you back soon. There's so much to discuss here in terms of the threat to the Flores Agreement, but also all of the billion-dollar industry behind the separation of children, where to even tech giant Microsoft is involved with a $19.4 million contract for ICE and other corporate entities. So a lot of money is also being made off of these migrants. And meanwhile, another caravan is on its way. So we'll see how all of that goes. But we appreciate you, Peter, and the work of your group there. And we hope to speak with you soon.